listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Mike Schleider from Zion Lutheran Church in Avila, Arkansas. Pastor Schleider, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning and being our guest pastor, helping us study the daily New Testament reading. Welcome back to His Time, by the way. You're a veteran at this now, since you've been on before, and glad to have you back again. Tell us again about Zion Lutheran Church in Avila, Arkansas.
It's a congregation that's been planted here in the late 1800s, and by God's grace, it's still continuing to reach people with the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a school, and we just graduated our first two seniors in high school, and that's a big move for us. And we have a community garden with over 100 beds where we're reaching the community around us. And we have a vibrant food pantry ministry, too. I also have a service on Monday night reaching a lot of those folks, too. So it's a wonderful place to be.
A garden, a community garden, a food pantry, and the Word of God, Word and Sacraments. You are feeding the people in so many ways there in Avila, Arkansas. Thanks be to God for that. Well, we are studying John chapter 15 today, verses 12 through 27. Pastor, what would you like for us to know about this text as we prepare to study?
It's an interesting text. It's often quoted in connection with the filioque controversy around the Nicene Creed, whether the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, or as the Eastern Church would deny that. And so often it's at the center of that. You see both sides, the West and the East, both quoting that. And also a very, I guess, a proof text, if you will, in this. It's Jesus clearly saying that we don't choose him. And so often quoted passages of Scripture in today's reading.
Very good. We are studying John chapter 15 today, verses 12 through 27, with Pastor Mike Schleider from Zion Lutheran Church in Avila, Arkansas. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look, John chapter 15, beginning at verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. All right, let's take a look. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. What is a commandment?
It's really clear from Christ's words today that we're in no means to be Epicureans, by the way. But the commandment, obviously, is a repeat of what he just said a few chapters before in John 13 while he was washing the disciples' feet. The love that he speaks of course, is the fulfillment of it. It's a summary of all that, you know, to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with our soul, and love our neighbors as ourselves. And so he... In John 13, he says, this is a new commandment, and then here he just says, this is my commandment. Not that there are not other commandments, but the fulfillment or summary of all those commandments is love. And then he specifically says, love as I have loved you. A very important connecting word there, as. And then he goes on to say, greater love is no one than this. And then he describes and speaks of himself as the fulfillment of the law. He speaks the gospel. He tells us how he has loved us, laying down his life on behalf of his friends. Very, very good news for us there. And we love because he first loved us, of course, as John says in his epistle. And so... He tells us the commandment, but then he tells us the fulfillment of the commandment in Christ Jesus himself. And as we hear that fulfillment, he kindles in our hearts a love for God and for our neighbors, because he has first loved us. He has laid down his life for his friends.
Greater love has no one than this, yes. That someone laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. If you do.
Yeah, Luther expounds on this, and he says, he paraphrases the verse, and he says, you're really my friends if you do what I command. In essence, love is the evidence of justification. It's the evidence. We love because he first loved us. Love is a fruit of the Spirit, of course. And this section is coming right on the heels of where Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. We can't produce this love that he speaks of apart from him. And actually, the love comes from him. And it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit that he gives us. And so he actually gives what he commands here. This love that he speaks of and expects of us is something that he provides through the Holy Spirit. And it's all on account of what he has done. It's a fruit of the cross.
You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I call you friends.
It's interesting for us to note who's choosing the friends, who's initiating this friendship, if you will. Remember, Scripture clearly says that we were at enmity with God, hostile. But we're no longer hostile. We're reconciled by the death of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus calls us friends. He chooses us as friends. That's why immediately after verse 15, where he calls us friends, he clarifies that in verse 16, saying, you did not choose me, but I chose you. It's his choosing, his gracious choosing, his reconciliation completely by what he's done for us on the cross.
You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you.
It sure feels different than that way sometimes, perhaps, but we let Scripture interpret Scripture, and as Jesus did. You remember when Jesus was tempted by Satan. Satan quoted Psalm 91 accurately, and Jesus went all the way back to Deuteronomy and corrected him. So we need to, when we interpret Scripture, the whole of Scripture, Scripture interpreting Scripture is something that Christ practiced himself and shows us how to interpret the Scriptures. And as we know from 1 Corinthians, the Scripture says the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, And God chooses us over and over again. It's in Scripture. The Lord opens our heart. It's not the other way around. And Jesus says that he's chosen us. That's good gospel. Often we make the wrong choices in life, and we can despair if it were up to us. But he is the initiator of the friendship. He is the one who graciously chooses us, all because he's reconciled us through his death.
And not only did he choose us, but appointed, he chose you, he says, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you.
Yeah, so often we see this in Scripture where God chooses and blesses to be a blessing. We see that from Abraham throughout the saints. And he chooses us so we go and bear fruit, and their fruit should abide. Of course, this word abide is used many times in just a few verses before the section we're studying today, where Jesus is speaking about abiding in him and he in us, and the result of that is we bear much fruit. And of course, in John 6, he says, whoever eats my body and drinks my blood abides in me. He's referring to the means of grace. When we abide with him, and he and us, miraculously he produces this fruit that he commands. He gives us what he wants us to do. He sends his Holy Spirit into our heart and produces this love that he wants us to have.
These things I command you so that you will love one another.
command is mm-hmm. really in the Greek again.
And he starts with that too. This is my commandment. Yeah.
Right. So it's interesting. There's some bookends, if you will, here, and there's the command in verse 12, and then you command in 17, and square so often in Scripture, and then again in 14. But it square in the middle of it is Jesus, where he is pronouncing that we're no longer servants but friends, and this this greater love that no one has this than someone laid down his life for his friends. The Christ's love for us and his fulfillment of the law is the centerpiece of this, and on both ends is the commandment. He is the fulfillment of the commandment, but by no means does he want us to be Epicureans and be indifferent about the law. He wants us to continue in our sanctification as he continues to sanctify us through his word and through the means of grace, abiding in him, and so that we do produce this fruit, which he is encouraging us towards.
Looking over this first section, verses 12 through 17, Pastor, anything else we can learn from this that you'd like for us to learn from this paragraph before we go on to the next section?
No, I guess not.
All righty. We are studying the daily New Testament reading. Today, we're in John chapter 15, verses 12 through 27. We're studying with Pastor Mike Schleider from Zion Lutheran Church in Avila, Arkansas. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email. The phone number's 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. You can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue studying in John chapter 15 today with Pastor Schleider. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
It's okay if you miss a program on Worldwide KFUO because you can download them as a podcast at your convenience. There are so many programs at Worldwide KFUO that are centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't miss one of them. You can download one or all at kfuo.org or subscribe on iTunes. That's kfuo.org, the messenger of good news.
Passing on the faith means knowing it first. We read in 2 Timothy, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. This June, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod focuses on all the benefits of parish-based education. Discover all the places where we learn about Christ in our homes, schools, and churches by visiting lcms.org/themes. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Our guest pastor today, the Reverend Mike Schleider from Zion Lutheran Church in Avila, Arkansas. We're in John chapter 15, verses 12 through 27, having a great time studying God's Word. Pastor, are we ready to go on to verse 18?
Yes, sir.
All righty, here we go. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. Therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. Don't be surprised if they hate you. That's what Jesus is saying, isn't it?
Yes, he gives us a kind of a heads up, so to speak. He's telling us that what we should expect when we are Christ's disciples.
Don't be surprised. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you.
Often we hear that, we are to be in the world, but not of the world. And this is really the passage where that comes from the words of Christ himself. We're to be in the world. That's where God has placed us. We're to be the salt of the world, as he says elsewhere, but not of the world, not being friendship with the world. James tells us friendship with the world is enmity with God. And so we're called to be separate from the world. And Jesus says this is going to engender hatred from some. Notice he uses this language of choosing again. He says, but I chose you out of the world. Twice in this section, he speaks about choosing us. Now, we know that God chooses us to be saved, but we should never, of course, never say that he chooses any to be damned. He makes it his will clear that he wants all to come to repentance. He wants all to be saved. But then we do have this comforting word that Christ chooses us. Wonderful comfort to us. It's not up to our decisions, but it's his, not our will, but his. And he chooses us out of the world. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the temporary circumstances are that the world's going to hate us, but we have an eternal joy, even in the midst of hatred and persecution.
Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. Well, let's take a look at these before I go much further in the text. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master.
Often we can act surprised when somebody is acts with such enmity towards the word, but we really shouldn't be. And it's good for us to be mindful of these verses here as Jesus gives us this warning. It helps us to deal with that too, knowing that we're not undergoing anything that Christ has not already gone himself, and he is an understanding Lord who has obviously experienced the hatred and even more so than we will ever experience. And so that's comforting, knows that we're not greater than he, and he suffered all that even though he was without sin, and we are with sin. And of course some of the hatred and enmity we have in our relationships here on this fallen earth are we are partly responsible for that. But, of course, Christ was not responsible in any way. He was sinless, and yet they still hated him, and they persecuted him. And so we're not greater than him. We're much less than him. And so we should expect that.
But if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. This is a recurring theme. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me.
Yeah, and of course, if they persecuted me, well, of course, they did persecute him. So, and that persecution leads to our salvation. Also, as we go and act as his instruments, his servants, proclaiming the word, they're going to persecute us as well. Of course, they didn't keep his word, and so we see their reaction in Christ's time, and so also there's an adversarial reaction in our day too. But we know that the word is not without effect among them. There's many that did receive his word, and just as there are many today, you know, the parable of the sower is a good example of how a large percent are going to reject the word, but by God's grace, the word is going to be fruitful in so many as well, too. So, but he says, all these things they will do to you on account of my name. Speaking of the proper proclamation of his word, you know, when God's name is hallowed, when his word is taught in all its truth and purity, well, we're to expect to get persecuted, sadly. And it's because they do not know him. They do not truly know God, even though they would profess to know him.
If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. So if Jesus hadn't come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of their sin?
It's interesting. This is repeated again in verse 24. And there again, we have to be very careful to to interpret Scripture the way that Christ has taught us to interpret the Scripture, not how Satan would have us just hone in on one verse or one small section and ignore the rest of God's Word. But that's really that's a temptation from Satan. We should not do that. If we took this verse just by itself and maybe just verse 22 and excluded everything else, we could come to a very wrong interpretation. But we know elsewhere Scripture says that those who have not heard the word are without excuse. His divine nature has been perceived since creation, Scripture says in Romans. Again and again, we see that they are not without an excuse. But Jesus does say, but now they have no excuse for their sin, but they would have not have been guilty, speaking about this particular sin of hating Christ in this section. Back to verse 18, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you, when he went to proclaim his word to him. He's not saying that they wouldn't be guilty of any sin. He's speaking about this specific sin of this hatred towards the word and towards Christ himself, actually.
Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father.
Interesting how we see, if you've tried to share the gospel with some folks that monotheists such as Jews and Muslims, they can speak with hatred towards Jesus and Christians and call us blasphemers. But when they call Christ a blasphemer, they're that hatred is toward the Father too. Sadly, there's many that would say that we it's all just different names of the same God. But that's really that is very, very different from what Christ himself says.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Whoever hates me hates my Father also." There's only one name by which we must be saved, and of course, that name is Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.
But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause.
He's referring to Psalm 69 there. They hated him without a cause. He is the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God who came to save them, and yet they hated him. And so also, and we should expect the same thing. Sometimes when we go out and try to reach the lost souls in our society, some of them, even though our intentions for saving them are completely for their good, we're going to encounter that same persecution, that same hatred towards them as well.
Looking over, before we go on to the next section, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from up through verse 25?
Yeah, I guess we need to be clear on that when he says they would not be guilty of sin if he had not done them among those works, if he had not spoken. Of course, he did. But he's not telling us that they would not be condemned if he hadn't have come and spoken to them. He's speaking about that specific sin. But then on the other hand, we don't want to deny that Scripture does speak, in like Luke 12, that there is a harsher punishment for those who have heard. You know, to whoever has been given much, much is required, much is expected. And Scripture does speak of a more severe beatings for those who have the word and reject it. But nevertheless, he is not saying that they would not. There is no condemnation unless they've heard the gospel. Instead of and so often people will see that as God being unjust, but it's not. They're without excuse. If any anger in this kind of situation should be directed at us. Show us the impetus, the importance of getting the word out and reaching more people with the gospel. Because there is no excuse. God's divine nature has been perceived ever since their creation itself. And so we need to get the word out.
The last two verses here. But when the Helper comes, I will send to you from the Father the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. The same language that we see or that we hear in the Athanasian Creed, isn't it?
Right. Yes, very much so. And partially the same language we hear in the Nicene as well. says, when the helper comes, whom I will send to you, so I will send, you have Jesus speaking, there's Christ, and then to you from the Father, there's the Father, and then the Spirit of truth, so you have the Trinity clearly in this verse, and then he speaks of the Spirit proceeding from the Father, and he will bear witness about Christ. Important verse that tells us the content of the Spirit's emphasis will be Christological. Sometimes people will speak of revelations or I guess visions, and often when you talk to those folks, the content is not Christological, and it's a good sign that this is just not. We have God's clear revelation in many and various ways. He spoke to the prophets of old, but now he speaks through his Son and the Word made flesh, and we have this inscripturated Word, which is a more sure than looking to visions or other, as some of our friends might do. But he speaks of, I will send to you, and it's Jesus speaking of sending the Spirit. Galatians 4 also speaks about God the Father has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. And so there the Father has spoken of as sending the Spirit. And so Scripture, it's kind of like a diamond. It's just a different facet or different angle that we're looking at here. Just because he says that the Spirit of truth proceeds from the Father, he is not saying by any means that the Spirit does not also proceed from the Son. You think of John 20 when Christ had risen from the dead, and he came to his disciples, and he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And we see the Spirit clearly proceeding from the Son in that verse. And often Scripture speaks of the Spirit as the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And John 16, just the next chapter up, Jesus says he will send him to you. So we have this Spirit clearly proceeding from the Father and the Son when we take all of Scripture's in their totality. Now, this verse specifically just speaks about the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, but it does not by any means deny or limit that the Spirit does not also proceed from the Son. And that's what that filioque, the clause in the Nicene Creed, proceeds from the Father and the Son. That's what filioque means, and the Son. It's a both. It's both when we read Scripture in its totality. We have that, so...
And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning.
Bearing witness, this word witness in the Greek is often, it's martyria, which is where we get our word from martyr. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning, speaking to his disciples there. What can we expect? What can we expect? Martyrdom? Yes. We take heart that Christ has overcome the world, and we also overcome by the blood of the Lamb, as Scripture says in Revelation, and we'll be around the throne with God. No matter what we incur, whatever persecution or hatred, we have a love that is unending in Christ's love for us. He's laid down his life for his friends, and we are his friends because he has reconciled us by the death of himself to on behalf of us. And so... we will bear witness. We will be martyrs in some cases, even in spite of the persecution, we have a joy that sees us through because we know that there's a happy ending in Christ.
Looking over this text as a whole today, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this John chapter 15 text?
It's important we take this, I guess, in the Scripture surrounding it, especially this verse right here. He says that first section, it's got a lot of command language in there, mm-hmm. in there, and it's important to note that this comes on the heels of that section just a few verses before. He speaks about the means of grace. You know, abide in me and I in you. And as we abide in Christ, he gives us this love, and it's really a picture of what Christ does. He creates this love in our hearts. He gives us this fruit of the Spirit, love, and it's all on account of what he has done for us, laying his life down for his friends. It's all Christ crucified. That's the bottom line of this text, I think.
We've been studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Mike Schleider from Zion Lutheran Church in Avila, Arkansas. Pastor Schleider, thank you so much for being our guest pastor, helping us study this text in John chapter 15 today.
Thank you. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. You as well. God bless you and all the saints there at Zion Lutheran Church in Avila, Arkansas. Coming up in just a little bit, we have some sacred music. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.